This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and welcome to Catholic Review Radio. Our guest today is Dominican Father Ambrose Little, and we will be talking about St. Thomas Aquinas and a new initiative. Father Ambrose Little, OP, is an assistant director of the Thomistic Institute and an assistant professor of philosophy at the Pontifical Faculty of the Immaculate Conception. Originally from Connecticut, he entered the Dominican Order in 2007 and was ordained a priest in 2013. He completed his doctorate in philosophy at the University of Virginia and holds both a BA and a licentiate in philosophy from the Catholic University of America. Welcome to the show, Father Ambrose.
Thank you, Chris, for having me.
Thanks. So the Thomistic Institute has a new online course called Aquinas 101. The goal is to promote Catholic truth and the thought of St. Thomas Aquinas. Can you give us a brief background on who St. Thomas is?
Oh, sure. So St. Thomas was a 13th century Dominican and a doctor of the church who lived from 1224 to about to 1225 to about 1274. And in his lifetime, he was known for his clarity of thought and expression. And even after his death, was referred to as the common doctor, because people thought that his teaching was so clear that you could go to him on any topic and find something helpful. And clarifying. So he was born to a noble family in kind of central Italy and joined the Dominicans at an early age. He'd actually been at a Benedictine monastery at Monte Cassino from the age of five, but came in contact with the Dominicans in the city of Naples while studying for a higher degree. And then he decided to join the Dominicans. This caused a little bit of family strife, but he eventually was able to kind of join us and go to study at the University of Paris.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet the Benedictines were a little bit sad to have lost somebody like him. So why is Thomas Aquinas considered one of the greatest theologians and philosophers of all time?
Well, so I think there are a number of things. So first of all, his clarity of thought. So he's able to take very complex things and pull them apart, not only into digestible units, but actually able to identify the real problems behind people's questions. Secondly, he's also a wonderful synthesizer. So he's able to synthesize the wisdom of the fathers of the church and of the teachings of the councils in a way that others in history have not been able to do, or have not been able to do, I should say, as well as he has. And so his marvelous ability to kind of synthesize is another reason. A third thing is that he is very clear about what his starting principles are, and that the understanding of these principles are useful because it enables his students, like myself, to be able to address questions that he never could have addressed because they weren't questions in his own time. And so St. Thomas is both clear about the things that he was directly teaching about, clear in his presentation of the past, and clear about the tools that we can use to address problems in our own day.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that impressed me when I studied Aquinas back in college was that he would put out the truth, put out these answers by, in many ways, addressing the objections, by addressing the opposite side. How does that help people understand his way of thinking, and how does it convince people that he's got it right?
Oh, well, so part of what you're talking about is the disputed question format, which is a very common approach to learning in the university in the Middle Ages. So it was part of a professor's job in the Middle Ages to do what they called a disputed question, which means he would stand up in front of a crowded audience. He would have a question, and it'd be a question to which you would say yes or no to. And then people would propose arguments on both sides of that question, yes to it or no to the what we call the proposition. And then the job of the professor was to then give a definitive answer and respond to all of the objections. And so, This was thought to be a helpful approach to learning because it allows you to examine a particular topic in all of its intricacies by attacking it from different sides. And St. Thomas was known to be a master of this. In fact, he did many more disputed questions than any of his other contemporaries because he was very good at it. And as a result, that approach meant that he would be able to look at an argument from different angles. He'd be able to look at the best arguments against the position that he held and to address them rather than ignore them.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit then about your new program called Aquinas 101 and how it helps people get an understanding of a little bit of some of Aquinas's thought and teachings. How does this program help people get into the themes and topics about Aquinas in what you might consider like bite-sized segments? They're 3 and 4 minutes long. It should be easy to get to, right?
Yes, that's right. So actually, first of all, this was just a little bit of a history. It's not the videos themselves are not entirely new. We've been doing this since 2019 because we have a series about 97 student chapters at universities in the US, UK, Ireland, Canada, and Mexico, where we send lecturers on different topics, especially on St. Thomas, to talk to university students. And many of them were getting these high-end philosophy and theology lectures, but they didn't know the basics of St. Thomas. And so we developed Aquinas 101 to kind of help our students come to a basic understanding of how to read the Summa and what St. Thomas's thoughts were. And then it turns out we put this on YouTube. Everybody wants a little bit of it. And so what's new is our way of presenting it. So we're presenting it on a free digital learning platform that allows you to go through the videos in the way like a course. And like you said, they're about 3 to 5 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes long, on a particular topic. And what we try to do is to break down the very dense concepts into short videos that have illustrations to help you to get a foothold on the topic. So we're not trying to explain everything, but we're trying to give you enough information so that you have a basic idea of a particular concept, hoping that, you know, if you come across this in theology or in reading St. Thomas, it'll help you to do a deeper dive.
Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a thing where people can go at their own pace. They can do 2, 3, 4 lessons at a time and then take a break, come back, you know, anytime they've got some extra time. Is that the plan?
Exactly. So one of the nice things about the new digital learning platform is that you can keep track of where you are. So we have a number of courses. And if you like binge watch 8 in one moment and then come back 2 months later, you'll be able to pick up right where you left off.
Good. And there's little quizzes at the end of each one also, so that you can kind of get a sense, did I absorb this or not?
That's right. So the quizzes come at the end of the different courses. We also have a way for you to engage with it more. So at the end of each video, we have some podcast lectures from our student chapters. And we also have extra reading if you want to go deeper and a way to ask questions to me.
That sounds like an awesome way to do that. Why did you decide to create this course of study at this time?
Well, so again, the initial impetus was to help our university students in the Thomistic Institute come to a kind of basic understanding of this teachings of St. Thomas. And in general, the reason why we are at universities and successfully so is because there is a great hunger for understanding. As Aristotle says, all men by nature desire to know. And, you know, too often in our university system today, right, we get a lot of information, but we don't get a lot of learning. And so people are hungry for a kind of ordered way of approaching a topic so that they can understand it. And St. Thomas does this beautifully. And he's done this for centuries, and he will do it, hopefully, for centuries to come. In saecula saeculorum, amen.
Amen. You mentioned Aristotle. Thomas was a great student of the ancient Greek philosophers, the ancient philosophers. How does that help shape his reality and what he came to be able to teach?
So in the time of St. Thomas, Aristotle had just been kind of reintroduced to the Latin West and with the entirety of his corpus. So before the 13th century, only bits and pieces of Aristotle, especially of Aristotle's logic, were available to people in the West. But in the 13th century, coming out of Islamic Spain, all of the texts of Aristotle that we have today were made available to the Latin speaking West. And so scholars in the academy, especially St. Albert the Great, one of the teachers of St. Thomas, were very influential in trying to bring that bring Aristotle's approach to knowledge and to the physical world into dialogue with Catholic teaching. And St. Albert did a lot to kind of pave the way, but St. Thomas did a lot to show how Aristotle's perception of the world is actually a beautiful way of coming to try to understand even the things of God.
Mm-hmm. What kind of topics are you getting into? I mean, are you going to get into Thomas's argument for the existence of God? Are you going to get into those kind of things as the course goes along?
Yeah, so we already have a number of things on that. So we initially divided Aquinas 101 into a couple of seasons. So season one is just a walk through the Summa, and we've kind of broken that up into different courses. So it's meant to go through all of the Summa briefly, so you get the whole thing in a glance. Then we have season two, which is faith and reason, where we go through a number of questions related to faith and reason so that people today can see how science and faith and philosophy kind of mix together. We're also producing... Now we're producing two different series. We still call them seasons, but they're essentially now just series. One on the sacraments of the church based on St. Thomas's teaching, and then one on the five ways. And our goal is to kind of then to pick up on other topics like this and to do deeper dives into them in the future.
That sounds great. Well, after the break, we're going to talk some more with Father Ambrose Little, a Dominican, about St. Thomas Aquinas, a Dominican. This is Chris Gunty, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio.
I have been a school sister of Notre Dame for 72 years.
Most senior Catholic sisters, brothers, and religious order priests serve for years with little pay.
I always taught the primary grades, and I loved it.
Today, hundreds of religious communities lack retirement funds. Your gift to the Retirement Fund for Religious helps provide medications and care. Please give to those who have given a lifetime.
Thank you, and God bless you 100-fold.
Donate at your local parish.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore makes the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through training and background checks and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese's efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org/accountability.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Almost exactly 50 years after Father Francis Fritz Gallery received permission to leave the priesthood, the 86-year-old clergyman has been reinstated as a priest of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. During a November 18th Mass at St. Joseph in Cockeysville, Archbishop William E. Laurie welcomed Father Gallery back into the presbyterate at a day of recollection with his brother priests that also honored priests celebrating milestone jubilees. Father Gallery made promises of celibacy and obedience during the celebration and signed a rescript, a formal document authorized by Pope Francis that allows a previously laicized priest to be restored to ministry. In celebration of his return, Monsignor Richard Woy presented Father Gallery's former gold chalice to him at the end of Mass, which had been a gift Father Gallery had given Monsignor Woy when he was ordained. Quote, in June of 1963, Father Gallery was an assistant priest at St. Peter in Westernport. He taught me how to be an altar boy, Monsignor Woy, pastor of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Crofton said, who credited Father Gallery's humble, kind, and priestly life for inspiring him to become a priest. With great, great joy, I hand your chalice back to you, said an emotional Monsignor Woy as he embraced Father Gallery. Father Gallery was first ordained a priest in May 1963. In addition to serving in Westernport, he was involved in ministry at St. Elizabeth of Hungary in Highlandtown and St. Mary of the Assumption in Govens. After serving in active ministry for 8 years, he asked for a leave of absence before deciding to leave the priesthood altogether 3 years later. He married, but his wife died of cancer in 2021. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Pope Francis announced that he will canonize Blesseds Carlo Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati next year, and that the Vatican will host a world meeting on the rights of the child February 3rd. The Pope will canonize Blessed Acutus April 27th during the Jubilee for adolescents in Rome April 25th through the 27th, and Blessed Frassati during the Jubilee of Young People in Rome July 28th through August 3rd. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. And if you're listening to this on our podcast, make sure you hit that like button. From everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
We are back on Catholic Review Radio, talking with Dominican Father Ambrose Little, Assistant Director of the Thomistic Institute, about St. Thomas Aquinas. Father Ambrose, has truth become subjective in our society? I mean, how do we understand the difference between faith and reason, or even more so, the difference between faith and opinions? And how do we address that confusion, both in our church and in our society?
Well, so there's a lot there. So
there is a lot there.
Yeah. So let's just begin with the kind of first question. Is truth subjective in our society? No, truth is not subjective in general, right? But one of the things that society is trying to grapple with is how universal truths apply to the particulars of our daily life, and how one thing can look different from one person to the next. Now, St. Thomas did have answers to this. Now, we've had new questions arise in the history of philosophy since the time of St. Thomas, but his general approach to why it is that some things appear differently from one person to the next, and yet there can be universal truths, can still apply. So one person who's done a marvelous job with this is Monsignor Sokolowski at the Catholic University of America, who is what we call a phenomenologist in philosophy. So he works on how our experience of the particularities of life can lead us to understand truths. And then, but he does a beautiful job of uniting that contemporary notion of philosophy with the teachings of St. Thomas. And so while there are some people who think that truth is relative, it's important to recognize that that is a robust metaphysical position that need not be held. And while it's very popular in certain sectors of the academy, when you look into it, it's very easy to argue against. Truth is not relative, even if there are difficult questions about how we come to truth. Mm-hmm. And what was the second half of your question?
So the second half was, how do we address this confusion between truth and not truth in the church, in society, in everything we do?
Yeah. So, that is obviously a much more difficult question. I think that on an individual level, right, the easiest way to kind of overcome that is to recognize that each and every one of us thinks that there are some things that are true that we are not willing to jettison. Here's one example. The vast majority of us think that the world is round.
Okay.
And like to say otherwise, right, would be in frankly absurd, right? And so like there are certain things like that that we are unwilling to jettison. So then the question is like, is that a relative truth or is that an absolute truth, right? And then we have to kind of figure out, okay, well, maybe there are some things you're willing to accept and as being absolutely true and cannot be otherwise. If there are at least some things that you are willing to accept that are absolutely true and cannot be otherwise, then the question is, how do you know that? And that's when we can begin to look at different questions in philosophy. How do we come to certitude about our knowledge of the world? And there are some approaches that tend to be more skeptical. There are other approaches that tend to be more rigorous and logical and come to those conclusions. And St. Thomas and Aristotle give us a very good approach for that. When it comes to the church and larger society, that's a different question. So one thing I would say that we have to kind of avoid a couple of different things. So first of all, we need to remember that teaching anything to a large group of people is going to be interpreted differently. So you know, one of the things that we priests recognize is when you stand in front of a congregation and you preach, what you say is not necessarily what people hear. As St. Thomas says, that which is received according to the mode of the receiver. And so people will hear what a priest or anybody has to say based upon their own experiences or their own worries at the time. And so like then how they receive that information is going to be difficult. And so part of the way to kind of to get around that is to make sure that when we are talking with large groups of people, that we make sure we have an idea of the type of audience that we're speaking with and how they are going to be able to be open to what we're saying and what ways they're not going to be open to what we're saying. And then to make sure that we always follow up with the more grandiose, larger audiences by also having individual conversations with people, because there will always be further questions that people ask. And so that's another thing that we should recognize, that in making statements to a large crowd, we can only get to a certain amount of specificity before they start turning off their ears, so to speak. So we need to make sure that we keep things in general and accessible so that people can receive them. And then when we want to get down to the details, make sure we also have that personal encounter with individuals.
Sounds like a good plan. You know, a lot of people have left the Catholic faith. Many more are leaving religious denominations altogether, making no religious affiliation really one of the largest growing denominations in the country, according to research we've seen all over the place. How can a program like Aquinas 101 help people understand what the church teaches and why, and hopefully either convert them to it or bring them back?
So I think that our program is helpful for those who have more intellectual style questions, right? So there is a very strong narrative out there that the church is anti-science or anti-knowledge or out of date with the past. I think that one of the things that we can do with Aquinas 101 is show that not only are we able to identify the relevant points of St. Thomas's teachings that are perennial and for any age and not just for the Middle Ages, but also explicitly, especially in the Science and Faith series, to show how this teaching can apply to our understanding of things today. I think we also just need to kind of to be active in working against the narrative that, for instance, science no longer needs faith, or that scientists have a privileged knowledge that nobody else has. I think we need to recognize that there are different spheres of knowledge, and that science has its own appropriate realm, philosophy has its realm, theology has its realm, and that all of these should be able to work together in tandem, not separately, and that we are better off when we do that. So that's another thing. So I think that we are particularly able to answer those style questions. Some of the reasons why people leave the church are also interpersonal, they're also psychological, and we're not necessarily able to approach those questions. But when St. Thomas was talking about the role of philosophy and theology in the first question of the Summa, one of the things he says is that philosophy is able to help theology by warding off objections to true belief. And I think that that's something that the Aquinas 101 series can do, is it can show people that we have an intelligent approach to questions that modern people have, and that the usual tropes against belief simply don't hold water, and that we do have responses to them.
That's good. We have a unique opportunity coming up in the Archdiocese of Baltimore for the veneration of the relics of St. Thomas Aquinas. The Dominican province is sponsoring a tour of relics, including the skull of St. Thomas Aquinas, which will stop at Saints Philip and James Parish in Baltimore December 18th. That parish is staffed by your fellow Dominicans. I mentioned to a colleague when I heard about this that this is skull held perhaps one of the most brilliant brains ever. and so it's going to be there. Why are relics like this important? And what can people learn about St. Thomas during such a visit?
So, I mean, there are many reasons why relics are important, right? There are theological reasons, and then there are personal reasons and psychological reasons. So let's just start though with like the psychological reasons and the personal reasons. One of the things that's helpful about relics is to recognize that the people that we're talking about from the past were real. When you're standing before the relics of an individual saint, you realize St. Thomas was not just some mythical historical figure in the past. These are his bones. These were part of him. This held his brain, right? And like just recognizing that can bring the past into the present psychologically for us in a way to realize maybe I should listen to this man. But of course, theologically, we also recognize that through the relics of the saints, the Lord makes present their intercession and their care for us. And so people can have moving experiences in the presence of the relics of the saints of that particular saint themselves. I remember when we did this for the relics of St. Mary Magdalene, whose relics are also under the care of the Dominicans in France. it was brought around to our various houses. And I know several people who had very personal, moving interactions prayerfully with St. Mary Magdalene. And I have a high hope that many will have the same with St. Thomas this time around. He's not only going to be visiting Baltimore, but his relics are also going to be visiting here in Washington, D.C. shortly thereafter. So there'll be many opportunities for people in the D.C. Baltimore area to venerate the relics of St. Thomas.
That is wonderful. Well, and if you want more details about the visit at St. Philip and James, look to CatholicReview.org and search for Aquinas. Given that, how can people sign up for the Aquinas 101 course and get more information about the Thomistic Institute?
So if you want to sign up for the course, our website is Aquinas101.ThomisticInstitute.org. That is, again, Aquinas101.ThomisticInstitute.org. But if you just type in Aquinas 101 into your search engine, it will either bring you to our digital learning platform's website or to the YouTube site. We have all our videos are initially on YouTube, and then you can follow links to our website to sign up there. And it's entirely free, and you get full access to all of our videos. There's nothing behind a paywall. We just want you to sign up so that it's easier for you to follow along.
That's great. Is there one thing you'd like people to take away from that course?
I want people to take away from the course that if you have ever been intimidated by philosophy or theology and think that you can't do it, do not be afraid. These episodes will make it easier for you. And when you see scary looking titles like Essence and Existence or Universals and Particulars, don't be afraid. Watch the videos. It'll be a lot of fun. And then treat yourself afterwards and keep going.
Very good. Well, thank you. We have been talking today with Dominican Father Ambrose Little, Assistant Director of the Thomistic Institute, about St. Thomas Aquinas. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
This is Chris Dunty of the Catholic Review, and you've been listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Tune in next week when we talk with a Loyola University expert about Christmas movies.
I have been a school sister of Notre Dame for 72 years.
Most senior Catholic sisters, brothers, and religious order priests serve for years with little pay.
I always taught the primary grades, and I loved it.
Today, hundreds of religious communities lack retirement funds. Your gift to the Retirement Fund for Religious helps provide medications and care. Please give to those who have given a lifetime.
Thank you, and God bless you 100-fold.
Donate at your local parish.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.